stand by. Good day and welcome to the IBM Subcapacity Licensing for Passport Advantage Announcement, Training for IBM Sales Reps. A reminder, today's conference is being recorded. Now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlos Belak. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Melinda, and good day to everyone. Welcome to the call. First thing, let me point you to where you can find the charts for this call. If you have a calendar invite and you go down to the details section, you'll see it'll say that where the presentation can be found. If you click on that link, you'll be taken to the IBM external or Excel page, and this is the Excel page for subcapacity licensing. When you get to that page, if you scroll up a little bit, and you'll see a green bar on the right on the right-hand side of the page labeled IBM Internal Only. And the first item under that bar is labeled IBM Sales Training, Virtualization Capacity, Subcapacity Licensing. And if you click on that, you'll get to the charts. For those of you who don't have the calendar invite, if you go to the Excel homepage for IBM sellers and select Passport Advantage from the Key Tools and Resources drop-down menu on the right-hand nav bar, go to that Passport, select Passport Advantage, select Go, and you'll get to the Passport Advantage page. And from there, again, if you go to the right-hand nav bar and select the fourth choice under General Program Information, you'll see the chart deck there labeled Subcapacity Licensing and Passport Advantage. And that, not chart deck, but that link, Subcapacity Licensing link, will take you to the internal Excel Subcapacity Licensing page. And again, if you scroll down from there, underneath the green bar section labeled IBM Sales Training, it's the first link there, Virtualization Capacity Licensing. Under that green bar that's labeled IBM Internal Only, you'll find the charts as well. Okay, so with that, if you have the charts in front of you, I just first want to talk about why this topic that we're talking about, virtualization capacity or subcapacity licensing, is important. And the first point is that the virtualization market is growing fast. IDC says that the annual growth rate through 2011 is 27%. And we know anecdotally that most of our customers are either using some form of virtualization today or beginning to ask questions about it. And so the point for this presentation is to give you, our sellers, enough information to begin to get you comfortable to have a conversation with your customers to talk about the benefits of this offering to them and be comfortable with the rules around the offering. And I think... first, that, you know, obviously gives you a selling opportunity, and second, it's important to have those conversations with your customers so that they're in a position to be audit ready in the event of an audit. So that's why this topic's important. If we go to page 2 in the presentation, let me just first note that we're changing the name of this offering. It was formerly called the Subcapacity Licensing Offering, and we're changing that to Virtualization Capacity Licensing Offering in recognition that, you know, the use of the word virtualization is becoming commonplace in the industry. And so I'm going to be using the words virtualization capacity for the most part here on out, and we're going to be sunsetting the use of the word subcapacity in all of our materials over time. So with that, let's turn to page 3, the agenda page. And the objective for the presentation is to provide you with an overview of virtualization capacity licensing and as well communicate the changes that we made to the offering with our announcement on July 1st. Before we get into the licensing requirements and the licensing examples, I'm going to give you some background on the marketplace and competitive landscape. And then before we open up for Q&A, I'll end the presentation with guidelines for selling the value of the virtualization capacity offering and talk about next steps. So with that, let's go to page four, the background page. There's three parts of this page. The first at the top part talks about how significant PVUs and the complementary virtualization capacity licensing offering are for our distributed portfolio. It represents PVUs and virtualization capacity approximately 54% of the distributed revenue, and of that, approximately 85% is deployed on either x86 platforms that have Intel or AMD processors, or IBM Power Systems platforms. Those are the two most important platforms we have. And if you look at the x86 platform, one thing that I'll be talking about more as we get into the presentation is that most of those servers, 70% of the x86-based servers, have two sockets on those servers, and we'll talk about what sockets are as well. The next point here on the processor market facts is that our processor vendors continue to improve the performance capacity of new processor technologies. And the example here is Intel quad cores. The new Intel quad cores, which are expected to come out in the first quarter of 2009, will have approximately two times the performance capacity relative to the older quad cores that came out in the end of 2006. So basically over a three-year time frame, processor performance capacity per core is doubling. That means customers require fewer cores for a constant workload. And in addition, Intel is essentially doubling the number of cores that exist on a socket. So the cores predominantly were two cores, or dual core, if you will, per socket. And now we're moving, we expect in the first quarter of 2009, to almost exclusively quad-core sockets. And so on a two-socket server that has quad-core processors, you're talking eight cores per server. A couple of virtualization market facts. Again, IDC, the fact from IDC that the overall virtualization market is growing by 27% per year through 2011 gives you an idea of the opportunity in this space. And a couple key reasons here, key points here, why customers virtualize, essentially to consolidate servers, save money on electricity, obviously a very big deal, as well as space and admin. Point here, the x86 virtualization market is growing faster, two times faster than the RISC Unix market. And the leader in the x86 virtualization market is clearly VMware with approximately 80 to 85% market share. The other point here to keep in mind is that as customers virtualize, the utilization of the processor and the server tends to increase. So that translates to higher value for our customers, and we'll talk much more about that as we move on into the presentation. So the key takeaways here are that this is a big part of our portfolio, PVUs and virtualization capacity, and the processor performance capacity continues to increase per core. We're seeing that from every processor vendor. And in addition, the processor utilization is increasing with virtualization. Let's go to page 5 and take a look at the key middleware competitive environment here. This chart compares IBM to Microsoft and Oracle. At the top, from a processor capacity licensing perspective, Microsoft requires one license per socket, and Oracle and IBM license based on the number of processor cores. In the Microsoft column, you know, if you compare Microsoft versus IBM, I think IBM has the key point here is, first of all, that Microsoft has less than 25% of their middleware revenue on per socket licensing, and in addition, of course, they only play on the x86 platform, so RISC Unix, you know, not eligible. I think the key advantage from a virtualization perspective is that IBM offers more granularity in that we license to the processor core, whereas Microsoft, the minimum licensing requirement is a socket, no matter how many cores, virtual cores, we'll get into this, are on that socket. So we have an advantage from a granularity perspective, particularly on VMware. And with respect to Oracle, the key advantage that we have is that Oracle does not have VMware as an eligible technology. They prefer Oracle VM for x86, so key advantage there. From a compliance perspective, we offer a tool to help customers manage the number of PVUs, the number of licenses that they require. That's especially helpful for large virtualization environments. With that, let's go to page 6, and just a couple of key items here that permeate the licensing, capacity licensing throughout this presentation. On the left side at the top here, let's take a look at the licensing principles, the key licensing principles from a PVU perspective. First point is that the price scales to value, or should scale to value, and on this point, the point here is that the price increases as the processor capacity available increases, and vice versa. And processor capacity is measured by taking the number of processor cores times the PVUs per core. The second licensing principle is that we look to balance precision with simplicity, and so we want to keep the number of PVU tiers to a minimum. The third point here is obviously we need to make sure that we're priced competitively. Now, on the bottom of this page, page 6, I just want to point out the contrast. We do not charge based on processor usage or processor utilization. We charge based on the number of processor cores, the capacity available, the total processor core, not some utilization of that processor core. This also talks to balancing precision with simplicity. In order to think about pricing based on processor utilization, you need to get much more complex, and you also need to think through how you would manage a migration or a migration of your install base that's currently licensed based on processor capacity available. Some customers would gain, some customers would lose. Certainly would create a lot of chaos if we tried to do some sort of a migration. So the prices are based on processor capacity available, and when we set those prices, we understand that the utilization, at least historically, has been between 5% and 20%. Let's go to page 7. This is some basic terminology here. The chart here on the left-hand side shows a comparison of a single core versus a dual core processor technology. And you can see here at the top, we have a processor core. In the dual core column, there's two processor cores. Those processor cores get mounted on processor chips. Those chips get mounted on processor sockets, and those sockets get mounted on servers. And once again, IBM requires licenses based on each processor core. You can see Microsoft on the bottom. Their minimum licensing requirement is one socket. That's the terminology to keep in mind as we go forward. Let's go to page 8. Before we get into how virtualization capacity licensing works, let's review PVUs, how they work. Looking at the top of this page, you can see here that each middleware program has a unique price per PVU. PVUs are transferable across systems, customers need to acquire the appropriate number of PVUs based on the processor core. An example of that, in the middle of this page, I have an excerpt from the PVU table, and a complete PVU table is available on our PVU website, but in terms of the excerpt, you can see here that some processor cores, like Power6, require 120 PVUs per core. Others, including all single core and most RISC dual core processor cores, require 100 PVUs per core. X86 dual or quad core chips require 50 PVUs per core. And then the benefits of PVUs are highlighted on the bottom of page 8. The really key benefit is the granularity of PVUs, which provide us the flexibility to license for multi-core environments, to provide or give customers software price performance improvements on new processor technologies relative to the processor technologies that they're replacing. And the granularity enables virtualization capacity licensing to the processor core. So granularity is the key benefit from PVUs. So with that, let's go to page 9, virtualization capacity licensing. Two key points here on this page. First one is, what is virtualization capacity licensing? And to explain, let me contrast full capacity licensing versus virtualization capacity licensing. With full capacity licensing, customers are required to acquire licenses for all the physical processor cores on the server, whereas with virtualization capacity licensing, customers are required to acquire licenses for the virtualization capacity or the full capacity of the server, whichever is lower. The second point on this page is that virtualization capacity is growing in importance as as processor vendors like Intel are adding more cores to sockets. So the minimum, from a full capacity licensing perspective, the minimum order size is increasing, and that makes virtualization capacity licensing more important, more desirable for our customers, so that they can license to the capacity they need rather than being forced to license for the full capacity of the server. So if you take a look at the example here on page 9 that makes this point, there's three boxes here, and in each case, the server technology that we're talking about are x86 servers, and in each case, each server has two sockets. If you go to the first box, represents a server that would have been available in the 2004-2005 timeframe, back when we had only single core sockets available. A two-socket server would have had, because it's single core, would have had two cores on that server. And from a licensing perspective, we required 100 PVUs per core for single core technology. So two cores times 100 PVUs says that you need 200 PVUs. And if you move forward to the next column take a look at the technology, dual core technology, that would have been available in the 2006-2007 timeframe, and our PVU requirement for dual core is 50 PVUs per core, because this is a two-socket server and there are two cores per socket, that means there's four cores on the server. So the cores are doubling for a two-socket server relative to 2004 timeframe. And the PVUs are staying the same at 200 PVUs because the PVU requirement per core was cut in half relative to the requirement on single core. So the PVUs are unchanged. However, when we get to the first quarter of 2009 and Intel moves to quad-core sockets, exclusively quad-core sockets, then the customers who desire servers with two sockets are going to be, they're going to have eight cores on those servers, double the number from the dual core technology in 2006. And if the PVU requirement stays at 50, then that means they're going to need 400 PVUs. And so you can see the PVUs are doubling, and that's fine if the capacity that they need is doubling. But if the capacity that they need is staying at the capacity that they had in 2006, that's where virtualization capacity licensing comes in. And what we really need to sell here is not eight cores or licenses for eight cores. We need to sell licenses for four cores and offer virtualization capacity licensing. So with that, let's go to page 10. This page covers the July 1 announcement we made 2 weeks ago. So before I talk about what we announced, let me put it in context by talking about where we were prior to July 1. And really the key point here is that prior to July 1, VMware was essentially not eligible for virtualization capacity licensing. And we were in a rather awkward situation with respect to our license metric tool. Prior to April 2007, we had a tool that really was too difficult for our customers to install and use. We had too many business requirements on the tool. I think one of those requirements was that the customer had to report quarterly to IBM its licensing requirements and licensing entitlements. With the July 1 announcement, we made many VMware virtualization technologies eligible as part of this virtualization capacity offering. That's a really big deal, given the importance of x86 and the importance of VMware that we talked about on the first market background page. And then second, we announced the availability of the new license metric tool, ILMT, IBM License Metric Tool. This ILMT tool is much easier to install. We have significantly reduced the business rules, so the tool is significantly simplified. We got very positive feedback from the beta testing that we've done with the tool. So the big announcements are VMware eligibility and a easier, much simpler, easier to install and simpler IBM license metric tool. With that, let's go to page 11. I'm about to walk through three virtualization capacity licensing examples. But before I do that, let me first just talk a little bit about the general concepts. In terms of the general licensing concepts here, the first one to keep in mind is that when we're talking virtualization capacity, we're counting virtual cores instead of physical cores. And what we're doing is we're looking to a subset of the server, sometimes called an LPAR or a partition or a virtual machine, and we're counting the number of virtual cores that are in that subset of the server. And we'll illustrate that as we walk through the examples. In addition to a general example, we have an example of how licensing works for a VMware environment. We'll talk about the simplicity of the licensing that we've created here for VMware, where x86 in general, where simplicity is the top priority. And then we have a licensing example for PowerVM, a shared pool technology example. And here, the point that we want to point out is for RISC Unix servers, the licensing rules allow customers to optimize these larger systems. And in all cases, the point on the bottom of the page here is that the rule is customers need to license for the lower of the virtualization capacity or the full capacity of the server. So that's an important benefit for our customers as well to keep in mind. So with that, let's go to page 12. Here, before we get into the virtualization capacity examples, let me just level set with a full capacity example. And if you look at the rectangle at the top of this page, you can see that we have one server on this page with 8 physical cores. And inside the server, you can see the two software products are MQ and WAS, and the number of physical cores is 8. And if you drop down to the bottom of the page, here's where we tally up the number of cores that the customer needs to license to. And you can see in this case, full capacity example, the customer would need licenses for 8 cores of MQ and 8 cores of WAS. If we go to page 13, here's the general virtualization capacity example. And if you look again, let's start at the top. There's one server here with 8 virtual cores and 8 physical cores. And this server has 2 partitions. PAR stands for partitions. Partition number 1 has MQ and WAS in it. Partition number 2 has MQ only. There are 4 virtual cores assigned to each partition. The server has 8 physical cores. And if you look at the bottom, the first MQ, since MQ is in both partitions, it has a virtualization capacity of 8 virtual cores. And if you compare that to the full capacity, it's the same, so the customer needs to license for 8 cores. But for WAS, which is only in partition number 1, the customer needs the license for 4. The virtualization capacity is 4, and so they need to license for 4 virtual cores. It's a fairly straightforward example. If you go to page 14, before we get into the VMware example, let me just take you through a couple of the key definitions and licensing rules. In the first definition, VMware uses the term vCPU, which means virtual CPU, and they also use the term VM, meaning virtual machine, and vCPUs are assigned to virtual machines. And in addition, what we've done here is we've created a rule that says each vCPU is equal to 1 core for PVU licensing. So if a physical core requires 50 PVUs per core, the same is true for 1 vCPU. The licensing rules, again, they're very simple. It's a simple rule for a single server or a server cluster, in other words, a group of servers, is the same, essentially, and that is that the customer needs to count the maximum number of vCPUs in each VM. And then, of course, there's the rule that I articulated earlier that's to the benefit of the customer. They need to license for the lower of the virtualization capacity available or the physical capacity of the server or the server cluster. So pretty simple rules. Let me take you through the example on page 15. Again, if you start at the top, in this example, there are 3 server clusters because this is an example. Sorry, there are 3 servers because this is an example of a server cluster. And there are 12 virtual cores and 12 physical cores. If you start on the right side of the page, looking under the label physical environment, you'll see there's server number 1, 2, and 3, each with 4 cores. So there's 3 servers and 4 cores per server, so 12 physical cores. in this server cluster. In the middle of the page, you have the virtual environment, which has 6 virtual machines, or VMs, and those virtual machines are drawing capacity, processor capacity, from the physical environment. Each of the first 4 VMs has MQ. VM 5 and 6 has some non-IBM software loaded. And the virtual cores, or vCPUs, in VM, you'll notice number 1 has 1, VM number 2 has 1, VM number 3 has 2, and so on. And then if you go to tally up using the simple licensing rule, which is count up the number of vCPUs in each VM, look at the table on the bottom, we add up the virtual cores, or vCPUs, and you get a total virtual core count, or vCPU count, of 8. And so that's what the customer needs to license to for this server cluster. It's that simple. If you go to then page 16, there's an example on the following page about a Power VM shared processor pool. And let me just say that we do have specific rules for each IBM Power VM technology, including how licensing works for capped and uncapped partitions, available on our website. I'll show you the links later in the presentation. I'm not going to walk through the details of capped versus uncapped partitions and other technology that Power VM has example, but I do want to give you a sense for how customers can optimize their Power Systems technology using their Power System servers, using Power VM technology. And so let's go to the next page, and I'll just highlight for you how this works. So again, on this page, you have at the top one server. There's 16 virtual cores and 8 physical cores. And the key concept here with this example, you have, you can see 8 physical cores. You have 6 cores available in the shared pool. And there are 3 partitions, partition 1, 2, and 3, that are assigned or aligned with the shared processor pool. All right, so at any given point in time, partition number 1, which has MQ in it, can use up to 4 virtual cores of processor capacity. But also at any given point in time, all 3 partitions, 1, 2, and 3, can never have available more than 6 processor cores worth of processor capacity. So we have a licensing rule that says, look, because the processor capacity available to partition 1, 2, and 3 can never exceed 6, that is the maximum licenses that you require for the partitions in this shared processor pool. So to illustrate, let me take you to the bottom of the page. And for MQ software, you can see that if you tally up the virtual cores, the total for partitions 1, 2, and 3 is 12. We would compare that, or the customer would compare that, to the capacity of the shared pool. And since the capacity of the shared pool is 6, the licensing requirement is 6. And then they would add any other virtual cores available in this example in other partitions that are not aligned with the shared processor pool, in this example 4, to get to a virtualization capacity of 10. And they would need to license, in this case, the full capacity is less than the virtualization capacity, so they would need to license the 8 cores on this server for MQ. And for WAS, to make the other point, if the sum of the virtual cores in those 3 partitions that are pointing to the shared processor pool is less than the capacity of the shared processor pool, then you need to license for the virtual cores in the 3 partitions, in this case 4. So that's how that works. The point is that the rules allow the customer to optimize the processor capacity on this server by using the shared pool shared processor pool technology and the licensing rules that, we have here. So with that, if you go to page 18, before we go through the key licensing requirements, let me just reiterate that most customers are already using some form of virtualization. Some of those customers are using it not being aware of the T's and C's. So, you know, we need you, our sellers, to get comfortable with this material so that comfortable enough to have a conversation with your customer, you know, for one reason, to, you know, protect them from unpleasant compliance issues, and the second point is to use this to sell, because we think it's an attractive offering. And so we've listed here the sort of summary of the licensing requirements that you need to make your customers aware of. And you can read these along with me, but the first one is that customers need to agree to the terms of our subcapacity attachment. We have some details on that on page 28. Customers need to follow the virtualization capacity license counting rules for the technology that they're using. We have a web page that lays out the counting rules required for each technology, whether it's VMware technology or IBM PowerVM technology. We have a chart deck for each technology, and I'll show you where to find that when we get to the end of this presentation. Not all of our products are eligible for subcapacity, so we have a list of products that are eligible, and those products have unique part numbers for subcapacity or virtualization capacity licensing. We have a list of eligible virtualization technologies. As I mentioned, VMware is now on that list. We have a list of eligible processor technologies. We support really all the major processor technologies. And have a requirement that customers need to use the ILMT or IBM License Metric tool and maintain documentation reports that that tool generates. There are a couple of exceptions for the use of the tool. Let me talk through the use of the tool if we go to page 19. So, again, let me say again that at the top of this page, the new ILMT tool, significantly simplified, is now available. You can get you can look at page 29 for an image of the main menu from that tool. Again, I mentioned that, you know, very positive feedback on the beta testing. If you go to page 30 in this deck, you can see how to order the tool. It's just like any other product, except that this tool is no charge for any customer. I should point out here that customers have until November 30th, 2008, so essentially 120 days from our announcement on July 1st, to install and begin using ILMT. And I want to highlight a couple of the key benefits. First, the tool helps our customers measure PVU licenses required by software product, and we believe it's going to help them maintain an audit-ready posture. I want to point out that the tool is no charge, and we recommend that customers use the tool not only for their virtualization capacity environments, but also for their full capacity environments. I want to mention also talk through that the tool is required for use with virtualization capacity environments, but there are certain exceptions. There's a list of the exceptions here. The first important exception is that if the tool does not yet support an eligible virtualization technology, then the tool is not required until that technology becomes eligible. VMware is a perfect example. VMware is eligible for virtualization capacity licensing, but the tool will not be available. It doesn't yet support VMware. We intend that it will by the end of June 2009. Another important exception is that if a customer or an enterprise has fewer than 1,000 employees or contractors worldwide, this does not include service providers, then that customer is exempt from using the tool. The we have another exemption for small subcap environments. If the PVUs for as measured by measuring the full capacity of servers that have subcapacity or virtualization capacity licensing is less than 1,000 PVUs, then the customer doesn't have to use the tool. And then finally, if the customer is using the commercial product that does the same thing in effect and more that the ILMT tool does, then they don't have to use the tool either. Now, that commercial product, we have a fixed pack coming out at the end of 08, if the customer is using version 2.3 of the commercial product, they need to bring in that fixed pack in order to take advantage of the virtualization capacity licensing technologies that we have available and baked into the ILMT tool. Now, I should mention that if the customer meets one of these exceptions, it's not like they don't have to do anything. They still have to maintain a manual calculation of the licensing, virtualization capacity licensing that they need, and we have a template for that purpose. And in any case, whether they're using ILMT or using the manual calculation method, they need to maintain documentation for at least 2 years, and that's quarterly documentation. Let's go to page 20. Here, want to talk before we talk about next steps on this page about selling the value of virtualization capacity offering. And there's two sections here. First, for new licenses, there's two key points. The first key point is that we don't want to sell to our customers more than the capacity they need. We don't want them to have excess license entitlements, because excess license entitlements, this year means that they'll need fewer licenses next year, and that's not good. And we also want to recognize that customers can get more value from virtualization capacity licenses. And so we should look to, when we sell virtualization capacity licenses, have a lower discount relative to full capacity licenses, given the value of virtualization capacity. And then on the second half of this page, for license conversions from full capacity to virtualization capacity, we need to manage the conversions carefully. Currently, and we have a number of considerations laid out on page 31 that you should take a look at. So I want to mention first that currently conversions have no charge, excluding compliance audits. Conversions are done from full capacity to subcapacity on a one-to-one basis. There's no charge for it. However, if you know that the full capacity licenses that the customer has acquired that they're looking to convert were acquired with high discounts, then we encourage you to try to sell the value of the conversion by bundling your agreement to do the conversion with lower discounts on new license sales. So I want to point out finally on this page that only IBM sales reps can authorize conversions, and there's some rules for when you can authorize those conversions listed on page 32. So on page, let's go to page 21 and talk a little bit over here about the offering next steps. I think the most important one is the first one. We need, as I mentioned a few times, you to get comfortable enough to talk to your customers about this offering. We intend to continue to do what we can in terms of making education available. I talked about the virtualization capacity license counting rules. We have chart decks today. We intend to add some voice MP3 files to complement those chart decks. We're working on building competitive sales scenarios that we'll make available on the internal subcapacity Excel page to help you to sell this offering. and point out the advantages of this offering versus some of our key competitors. And then we also intend, you should know, to make more products eligible for this virtualization capacity licensing and more technologies. So with that, before I open up for Q&A, let me just point you to some of the, on page 22, the websites where you can find more information and you can go to periodically to find updates to the information we have today. So the first link under the Excel, under the internal Excel site at the top of page 22, there's a link there to the Passport Advantage, the main page, the virtualization capacity licensing page. And the design of that page is identical to what our customers can see insofar as, you know, the sections that I have in the middle of this page labeled internal and external. So the sections that are labeled customers must agree to the terms of the attachment and so on, and you can see that there will be PDFs available on both the internal and external site. They're identical. If you go down under essentials, all of this information is available to you as well as the customers, identical information on both internal and external sites. The two key ones I want to point out under essentials are items 2 and 3, the subcapacity licensing attachments. There's a link from the either internal or external site to the subcapacity licensing attachment page. And there's a link to the virtualization capacity license counting rules page that I talked about, where you can find what the rules are for each technology by vendor. And then down on the bottom of this page, labeled internal only, that, you know, only for IBM sales reps, on the internal Excel site, you have the IBM sales training material that I'm talking through now. There is sales Q&A, and there's the process for conversion from full capacity licenses and the conversion form. And it's this section labeled IBM internal only that you should look to periodically for updates on competitive sales examples, et cetera. So with that, Melinda, if you could open up for Q&A, appreciate it.
Certainly. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. A reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, to please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to be placed in the queue to ask a question at this time. And we'll pause for just a moment. Again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question. And we'll go to Tamana Ara.
Yes, this is Tomon Ara from Japan. I'd like to know when the external version of the file will be provided.
Thanks for the question, Tamana. There's an external presentation already available for use with customers. If you go to page 22 in this presentation, which is, you know, for internal only purposes, and you look under essentials, right? So if you were going to go to the internal Excel website and under essentials or the external page, the first item, Passport Advantage Virtualization Capacity Licensing Overview Presentation, that's the presentation that you should use with customers.
May I ask again?
Hello? Yeah. So if you're looking at page 22,
I understand that there is a capacity license overview presentation for customers, but the first July 1 announcement information isn't included, I think.
All 7 items that are listed on page 22 under essentials are also available on the external site. And the link to the external site is the second link on page 22. And you can see item number 4 provides our customers with a summary of the July 1 announcement. And item number 5 is a link to the actual announcement. Does that help?
So do you mean that the summary of the announcement is a PowerPoint file?
No. If the customer were to go to the external Passport Advantage site, which is the second link on page 22, they would find the announcement on the right-hand nav bar under Essentials. It'll be the 5th item. So, in other words, if you look on page 22 of this presentation, all we've done here is listed the information that's available on the external link to customers.
Okay. I thought that there would be a PowerPoint file or some presentation file.
Yes.
Do you mean that you are not providing that PowerPoint file?
Tamono?
Yes.
It's the first link under Essentials. It has been updated for the July 1st. It's a PDF file that was based on a PowerPoint file on the external page. It says Passport Advantage Subcapacity Licensing Overview Presentation.
Okay.
And again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. Mr. Bellick, there appears to be no additional questions at this time.
Okay, well, let me just thank everyone for their participation. And if you do have further questions, there is a section in the internal Excel site down toward the bottom where you can send an email and ask a question. Otherwise, again, thank you very much for the presentation, and we'll be adding more material as time passes to the internal site. Thank you.
Thank you, and that does conclude our conference call. We thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.